It's good to be here this evening to share in the wonderful Revive series that has been taking place each and every evening. And I don't know about you, but I've come tonight to be revived in God. If you've come to be revived, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
I am grateful to the Lord to be here in Anchorage, Alaska, to share with you in this series, specifically our message this evening, as we seek to experience God's hope. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them with me and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 is where we will begin this evening. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And we will read in your hearing as this text this evening centers around the message that we will share as we seek to experience God's hope. The word of God says to us tonight from Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Verse number 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Verse number 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In harmony with our theme for tonight, experiencing God's hope, we will challenge you with the message entitled, "The Comeback." But before we talk with you, let us collectively talk with God. Father in heaven, O God, we thank you tonight that you have afforded us this wonderful opportunity to share your love. As we speak from your word tonight, we pray that God, you would imbue us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. And oh God, I pray and ask in a special way that as a result of your word going forth tonight, that we will truly know what it is to experience your hope. And when the appeal is made, I pray, oh God, that men, women, boys and girls would give their lives to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say, amen. Experiencing God's hope, the comeback. The year was 1995. The place was the famous Madison Square Garden in New York City. The setting was game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers in playoff basketball. Knicks fans hated Indiana star guard Reggie Miller so much that ESPN made this game the subject of one of their 30 for 30 documentaries. To the disdain of Spike Lee and other loyal New York Knicks basketball fans, Miller single-handedly led his team to a stunning 107-105 victory comeback win over the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. With 18.7 seconds left in the game, the Knicks led by 6 points. But Reggie Miller then hit a three-pointer, stole the ball on an ensuing inbounds pass, dribbled behind the three-point arc and three-point line, and hit another three-pointer. Minutes later, Miller then made two free throws to put the Pacers up for good and up and ahead in the series, 1-0. This is considered by many basketball fans like myself as one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. History was then made in the year 2008 when President Barack Obama was elected the first African-American president of the United States. It was during his presidential campaign that he made it clear that one of his desires, one of his goals, was to end the war in Iraq. It was on December 16th, 2011, that this pledge came to fruition, where American soldiers began arriving back in the United States from Iraq. This comeback was historic, because after thousands of deaths and injuries to American troops on Iraqi soil, soldiers made a comeback home. When they entered airports, people would cheer. When they would walk down the street, people would nod and smile, expressing their sincere and genuine appreciation. Our soldiers have come back. But the Bible also talks about comebacks. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, the parable, if you will, of the comeback. You know the story. A father has two sons. The younger son asks for his inheritance early, and he leaves home. The older son remains at home, and he works. The younger son spends his money on riotous, foolish living. He reaches his lowest point. He feeds on what the swine would eat. He comes to himself and he says, you know what? I'm going to go back home to my father. For I would do better in my father's house as a servant than as a man out feeding and eating with pigs. He walks up to the driveway of his father's house. His father sees him afar off. His father begins to scream in excitement. He says, bring my son the best robe. Let's have a feast. For this my son was lost. He is now found again. He was blind, but now he sees. This parable illustrates that when you come back to our Heavenly Father, that our Heavenly Father receives you with open arms. He receives you with outstretched arms, and he says, come back home. This is what I call spiritual comeback. But the ultimate comeback will not be when the Pacers play the Knicks. The ultimate comeback will not be when American soldiers come back on American soil. The ultimate comeback will not be when the prodigals of life come back home. The greatest comeback will be when the trumpet shall sound. And Jesus comes back in the clouds. This is our greatest hope. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the ultimate comeback. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. There'll be no more crying, no more dying, no more sickness, no more pain, no more cancer, no more arthritis. No more blood pressure, no more gas prices. In fact, I won't have to worry about gas prices because I'll fly from my mansion to your mansion. There'll be no more trials, no more tests, no more tears. There will be no more because the former things are going to be passed away and all things are going to become new. Jesus is going to make the ultimate comeback. 2,000 years ago, my Savior, my Lord, my shield, my buckler, my light, my Jesus has just ascended back to heaven to be with the Father. The disciples are troubled by his leaving. They don't fully understand his ascension. And so they go to the Bible. The Bible says, they say in Acts chapter 1, verse number 6, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. Now keep in mind who Jesus is. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, the anointed one who was to rule the earth from Jerusalem upon the restored throne of David. They want to know if Jesus plans to initiate his kingdom and his rule right now. But the disciples didn't understand the nature of Jesus Christ's kingdom. Jesus had not yet promised the sort of restoration that they were anticipating. So Christ, in his response, he did not give a direct answer to the disciples, but instead, Jesus lays the foundation, or leads them, if you will, to the work that lay ahead. He gives them instruction to coincide with the great gospel commission of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He then says in Acts chapter 1, I will not leave you, neither will I forsake you, because I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and you will not be comfortless. Verse number 8 of Acts chapter 1, the word of God says, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, in this text, Jesus is telling his disciples, get ready for the move of the Holy Spirit. Get ready, because the Holy Spirit is getting ready to come. Get ready, for the gospel is going to be preached. The sick are going to be healed. The deaf are going to hear. The dead will be raised. The blind will see. Miracles will be wrought in the name of Jesus. And thousands will be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As a child of God, and as a lifelong member of God's body, his church, I must say right now, if there has ever been a hindrance to the body of Christ for years, it is not tapping into the full power we have in God. I don't know if you know it or not, but friends of mine, we're sitting on a ton of dynamite. We're sitting on a ton of power. Let me remind you this evening that when Jesus got up from Calvary, you will remember that he was crucified. He did die. He did rest in the grave on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. But when he got up, the Bible says that he got up with all power. And because he got up with all power in his hands, there was a transfer of that power from Christ to us. One of my favorite writers, Ellen White, says, Testimonies, Volume 6, he says, the fullness of divine power has been imparted to God's people that they may impart to others light and joy and refreshing. So in case you didn't know, now you know, we have power. We have Holy Ghost power. What is this power? Acts 1 opens by telling us of Jesus' transfer of power to his disciples and his subsequent ascension to heaven. The power in verse 8 refers to God's power to exercise his strength, his authority in our lives. Now, I've learned over the years that God can strengthen and energize those who put their trust in him. God is the source. That means you and me, we can't fight the devil in our own strength. That's why so many people give up, because they fight the devil in their own strength. But the Apostle Paul gives us some encouragement in Ephesians 6:10. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, which means the source of our strength is God. The source of our strength is Jesus Christ. The source of our strength is the Holy Spirit, but not only the source of our strength, but also the scope of our strength. When a believer's faith is in God, then the Lord's power becomes the power of that believer. When we, as God's people, grasp this truth that we are as strong as that in which we trust, believe me, we will revolutionize this world. If you trust in yourself, then you are as strong as you are. But when you trust in God, you are as strong as he is. Oh, you all don't hear me tonight. Let me illustrate this point. I cannot fly. I know my name is Bird, but I cannot fly. I tried it as a child, and I know what I'm talking about. You know how you'll jump off the bed or you'll jump off something and you'll say, I know I can fly, and then you knock your head on the way down. But I learned as a boy that the law of gravity is real. That what goes up must come down. I cannot fly. But when I put myself in an airplane and yield to its power, suddenly I have the ability to soar 30,000 feet in the air. I cannot run 70 miles per hour. But when I get in my car and I yield to its power, suddenly I have the ability to achieve speeds that I could never achieve on my own. And when my faith is in God, when my faith is in God's power, then his strength becomes my strength. His power becomes my power. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because understand, math says if you have a greater than, you must then have a less than. So whoever the greater is inside of you, then he that is in the world is less than whoever is inside of you. And the greater is he that is in you is the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Verse number 9, the text continues. The word of God says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. He was taken where, everybody? Up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Now let's stop right there for a minute. What a sight this must have been. He in whom they had believed. He in whom they had kept company with. He to whose loving, tender words they had listened. He to whom they had forsaken when the hour of his suffering had come. He who had died on the cross, reckoned among the evildoers. He who had rested in a tomb and was raised from the dead by the power of God. He who had been with them in a glorified human body and manifested himself in resurrection power and glory was now taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. Verse number 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse number 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I get excited when I read that text. Because in other words, the angels say, fear not, this same Jesus is going to make a comeback just like he left. This same Jesus who locked the lion's jaw down in Daniel's den. This same Jesus who provided air conditioning in a fiery furnace. This same Jesus who parted the Red Sea. This same Jesus who healed blind Bartimaeus. This same Jesus who healed the woman with the issue of blood. This same Jesus who woke you up this morning. This same Jesus who healed your afflicted body is coming back. If I can testify just for a minute, this same Jesus, when you were in the checkout line at Cars or Walmart's, and you had $20 to your name in your pocket. This same Jesus. There you are in the grocery store and you need to get a few things. You pull up in your grocery cart to the checkout counter. You place your items on the conveyor belt. You don't know if you'll have enough money. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want people pointing at you, looking at you. All you have is $20. This same Jesus is right there with you when the cashier rings up your grocery. The cashier looks at you and says, that will be $19.99. This same Jesus is going to come back for his people. Could human language make it more clear? It seems almost impossible that anyone could not grasp the simple fact of his return. Grasp this wonderful hope. This hope, this coming will be personal. Everybody say personal. Personal. Because the text says this same Jesus. But not only will his coming be personal, his coming will be visible. Everybody say visible. Visible. His coming will be visible because the text says we have seen him go. Not only personal, not only visible, but his coming, this hope, will be in the clouds. Because the text says a cloud received him. This coming will be certain. Because the text says this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And so this is what the Christian life is all about. Being ready for this blessed, wonderful hope. Being ready and looking forward to Jesus' comeback. Jesus' second coming. This is what we all should be looking for. And eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So get ready for this hope. Get ready for this comeback. Get ready for the comeback. Now someone says, Pastor, I understand the comeback, but when will this comeback take place? I'm so glad you asked. Matthew chapter 24 tells us when this comeback will take place. The word of God says to us in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to verse number 36. The word says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This lets me know we, none of us know when this comeback's going to take place. But we do know the comeback is going to take place soon. Because verse 42 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. Be what, everybody? Ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So then, when you hear people saying that Christ is coming back and he's coming back on this date, you know that's not the truth. Because the word of God says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of Christ's coming but the Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we cannot say the exact time in which he's going to come, but we can say he's going to come back real soon. I know he's going to come back real soon because Matthew 24 also lets me know the signs of his coming. Go to Matthew 24 and let's read verse number 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. The word of God says to us tonight, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he says, you hear of wars and rumors of what, everybody? Wars. We have wars going on right now. Rumors of wars going on right now. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. But the Bible continues in verse 7. For nation shall rise against what? Nation. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We have nations rising up against nations now. Do we not? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of God continues, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. All the different signs in Matthew 24 that Jesus talked about, they are taking place today. I tell people all the time, if you're depressed, don't watch the news. You'll be more depressed after you watch the news. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the news reports on all these signs that we've just read in Matthew chapter 24, pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming real soon. I don't know the exact date, but I know he's coming soon. I know that when he comes back, it will be the same manner in which he left. He left in a cloud, so he's going to return in a cloud. He left in the air, so he will return in the air. His feet will never touch the ground. The Bible also lets me know in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7, that when he comes back, every living eye is going to see him. So then that lets me know there will be nothing secret about his comeback. There will not be a secret rapture, but every living eye is going to see him, which means those in Anchorage are going to see him. Those in Fairbanks are going to see him. Those in Juneau are going to see him. Those in Seattle are going to see him. Those in LA are going to see him. Those in New York are going to see him. Those in the Caribbean are going to see him. Those in Africa are going to see him. Those in Asia are going to see him. Those in Australia are going to see him. And guess what? We're all going to see him all at the same time. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Christianity gets excited about this comeback. But some, unfortunately, within the ranks of Christianity have made a mistake about his comeback. Let's be clear tonight that when Jesus Christ comes back, when we experience this great hope, there will primarily be four groups of people. When he comes back, when we experience this great hope, there will be four primary groups of people. Group number one, take your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. The word of God says to us tonight in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, which then means group number one at his comeback, at his second coming, will be the righteous dead. The group righteous dead, the Bible teaches, the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. They shall rise what, everybody? First. They shall rise first. So group number one, the righteous dead at Jesus' second coming, at his comeback, the righteous dead rise first. Group number two, verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen, somebody. Group number two, the righteous living. The righteous what, everybody? The righteous living. The Bible teaches that they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the what? Air. Group number one, the righteous dead rise first. Group number two, the righteous living are caught up to meet the Lord in the what? Air. Group number three. We call group number three the wicked living. The wicked living. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the word of God says to us tonight in verse number 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The word of God is clear that the wicked or unrighteous living at Christ's second coming will die at the brightness of his coming. So you know what I have to do to make sure I'm righteous? Come on, say amen. Sometimes I have to stand on a stage like this and look directly into the lights to make sure I don't die at the brightness of the lights, because I'm getting ready when Jesus comes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Group number one, the righteous dead rise what? First. Group number two, the righteous living are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Group number three, the righteous living die at the brightness of his what? Coming. Then group number four, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 5. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 5. I just want to read that first sentence. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, which means at Jesus' second coming, group number four, the wicked dead. And the wicked dead at Jesus' second coming remain dead. The wicked dead remain dead. So we have four groups. Group number one, the righteous dead rise what? First. Group number two, the righteous living are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Group number three, the wicked or the unrighteous living die at the brightness of his coming. And group number four, the wicked dead remain dead. Now, we recognize these are the four groups at Jesus' second coming, at the comeback. These are the four primary groups when we experience God's hope. But for years, people have been taught, to listen to me good, that when an individual dies in the Lord, they go straight to heaven. But the text says that the dead in Christ rise first. The text says that we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the what? Clouds, in the air. So friends of mine, as we study the word of God and experience God's great hope, the reality is if the righteous already were in heaven and they went to heaven straight at death, who would Jesus be coming back for? Because the word says that the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so I don't know about you, but I have to be a part of either group one or group two. Either I have to die in the Lord and rise first, or I have to be alive when he comes and I'm caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. Do I have a witness in this place? And so Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery, that one day we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody say, how fast is that? I don't know, but I used to wink at my wife, and I still do real quick, so I know it's going to be quick. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So Paul says, when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labors are not in vain. Jesus will be in heaven, and I plan on being in heaven with my Jesus. Tonight, can I tell you about heaven? The lion will play with the lamb. In heaven, there are going to be 12 gates to the city. 3 gates to the north, 3 gates to the south, 3 gates to the east, 3 gates to the west. We used to sing a song about heaven where we said, one day we're going to sit at the welcome table. We're going to feast on milk and honey. We're going to sing and never get tired. We're going to walk and talk with Jesus. In fact, we're going to put on our long white robes. We're going to shout hallelujah. In fact, because I'm from the South, I'm going to eat grits with Jesus. In fact, when we get to heaven, when we get in the very presence of God, we're going to shout, holy, holy, holy. We won't rest day nor night because there will be no night there. But we'll say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Because around God's great throne, there will be persistent praise. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't like to praise God down here on earth, then I don't know what you're going to do when we get to heaven. If you don't like to talk about the goodness of God here on earth, I don't know what you're going to do when we get to heaven. Because when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sing and shout the victory. But you know what? I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven to praise him. I'm going to praise him a little bit down here. Some of you talking about when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout. I can't wait till I get there. I'm going to praise God down here. Some folk talking about if I had 10,000 tongues, I wouldn't be enough to praise him enough. Why don't you use the one tongue you have right now and praise God. Give God glory and honor and praise because yes, he's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his name. Lift him up. Praise God. He's coming back again. So the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. His word says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So friends of mine, get ready for the comeback. We're looking forward to this glorious hope. I don't know about you, but I want to experience God's great hope. And so lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. So dry your weeping eye. Hold your head up. Stick your chest out. He's coming back. Keep on loving. Keep on serving. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on being nice, because serving the Lord will pay off after a while. This is our hope, the comeback. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you something, friends of mine. Nothing, no one is going to keep me out of God's great kingdom. Nothing. No one was going to stop me from seeing my Jesus. He's done too much for me not to see him. He's done too much for you not to see him. This is our hope, that one day Jesus comes back. And so this evening, we've come tonight. We study God's word. Each and every day we endure trial, we endure tests, we endure tribulation. But hold on. Help is on the way. There's a brighter, better day coming after a while. I have loved ones that I will be reunited with in God's heaven. But most importantly, I'll be united with Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see the one who wore a crown of thorns for me. I want to see the one who bled in his head for my evil thoughts, bled in his hands for my evil touch, bled in his feet for my evil walk. I want to see Jesus, the one who died for me. In my humanity, I've done what God has assigned me to do. But it is now time for you to respond to the voice of God. and do as God would have you to do? Do you want to make him your personal savior? Do you want to be ready to meet him when he comes back? Are you looking for this great, wonderful hope? God appeals to you as well. Do you accept him as your personal savior? Do you want to be ready when he comes back? Do you want to experience this wonderful hope? If that is your desire, make it clear to the Lord tonight. Father in heaven, oh God, we thank you. We thank you that, God, we can experience your wonderful hope, the hope of your comeback. We recognize, God, that your comeback is very soon. And Lord, if we should die here on this earth, we plan to be a part of that group that rises first to meet you. If we are yet alive when you make your comeback, we want to be caught up to meet you in the air. And so, God, tonight, because we want to be ready for this comeback, we give our lives to you. We turn our lives over to you tonight. And so, God, tonight on that card, there is a man, there's a woman, there's a boy, there is a girl that has checked that box and made a commitment to you tonight, oh God, that they want to make you their personal savior and that they want to be ready for this glorious, wonderful hope of seeing Jesus when he comes. So, God, seal those decisions tonight. I pray that you would trouble the hearts of those who have yet to make a decision for you, because delayed obedience is the twin brother of disobedience. God, we love you. And we thank you for loving us so much that you would send your only son, Jesus, to die for us so that we might look forward to this wonderful hope. Bless us, keep us, and save us. It's in the wonderful, matchless, sweet name of Jesus that we praise you for this hope. Let everyone say amen.